The Calgary Flames make it official with Craig Conroy, who knows he has a lot on his plate and he is ready to devour.
Your Locked On Flames, your daily podcast on the Calgary Flames. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Locked On Flames. I'm your host, Jess Belmosto, and thank you so much for joining me here today. We're going to talk all about the Calgary Flames' new general manager, my takeaways from the interview or press conference, and what we can look forward to. But before we do that, today's episode is brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app today. Use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off of your first purchase. And while you're at it, make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Flames wherever you get your podcasts, free 99 across the board and on YouTube as well. We love hearing from you in the comments, and this is another great time to chime in. We're officially in the Craig Conroy era. I've talked to a lot of people from Calgary and local to the area, and it appears that this is a very good thing. He is obviously, business aside, he is a very well-liked member of the community, and, you know, people have a lot of respect for him, which is good, because I feel like you have some credibility there. You know, it's not like you were coming in from another place, or even if this is your first time as a general manager, but you've made some, like, you know, enemies along the way. People are like, oh, he has a reputation and we are not going to let him live it down. So there is this preconceived notion that he's a really likable guy. And his press conference today kind of reinforced that. And Craig Conroy is just, he has been groomed for this role. And it's so nice to see that it was an internal hire. It was someone that is familiar with the dynamics of the Calgary Flames, has seen it all, truly. I feel like over 12 years in Calgary, I feel like I've seen it all in 4 years. I can't imagine seeing it all, playing and then jumping immediately into a front office role. Like that would be a lot to handle. But, you know, it's good to see someone, obviously, from within. And you're getting someone that has a feel and has knowledge. He's not coming in playing catch up to make decisions ahead of the draft or free agency. He's been around these conversations and in the context of the team that he is now operating. And to me, that was a very important decision for the Flames. That is something that I really wanted them to consider, because I feel like you were not going to get a true success with someone from, like, the outside. They were not within the Flames organization. They were not going to understand the impact that last year had on the players and how significant of a it's significant toll it took on the players in many ways. I mean, it is very clear. We have only heard, you know, bits and pieces what they've said publicly, but that's just a bite size of what really went on. And of course, it's more of a, you know, clean cut version of what happened. And I think Craig Conroy is coming in at, you know, obviously the perfect time to flip the script, to make changes. And he talks about wanting players to be excited to be in Calgary, and he wants guys who want to be here, and he wants to just really put an emphasis on leadership and communication. And we're going to talk more about that next in the takeaway segment, but I really like that he has this familiarity and foundation underneath him with the Calgary Flames organization. I think, again, you are getting someone who is familiar with your operations and how day-to-day life works, but you're also getting someone that is pretty familiar with the other office people he's going to be working with, leadership people, office people, the leadership team he's going to be working with. He knows the players. He has a great rapport with the city of Calgary and the fans. And, you know, this wasn't just a lip service thing. This is something that he has been working for and has been waiting for basically his entire life. And, you know, he goes on to talk about how he thought he knew he was going to be a general manager someday, but he didn't think it was going to be with Calgary, and called this a dream job. So again, I think that we have someone who is very excited, very eager, and methodical, organized, coordinated, willing to collaborate. And that's wonderful, because I don't know how many more adjectives I can list that are the complete opposite of where we were this season. So coming up next, we're going to talk about the takeaways from the press conference and kind of the meat and potatoes of his priorities and what lies ahead for this team. But before we do that, I do want to take a very quick moment to talk to you about our friends at Game Time. Game Time is a perfect opportunity for you to take advantage of a beautiful summer evening, take in a baseball game, go to the theater, go see a good comedy show at a discounted price. All you have to do is download the Game Time app today and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. I am using this wonderful promo code to go to a Red Sox Yankees game later this summer, and I couldn't be more excited. And I didn't have to Google, you know, where my seats were. There was a picture view of what my seats were, what my view would be, and it was just all in one place, and it was pretty great. So download the Game Time app today and create an account and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute ticket, lowest price guaranteed. And thank you, everyone, for hanging out with me today on Locked On Flames. I'm your host, Jess Belmosto, and make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Flames, because we have some very exciting things to talk about now that the Flames have named their general manager. Not only are we looking at, you know, the coaching, but there are some free agent signings ahead of next year that they need to start looking at. And Craig Conroy made it very clear that Elias Lindholm is a priority, and that is priority number one. He made it sound like this press conference would be done and he would be on the phone with Elias Lindholm nearly immediately. Like, that this is his first duty, his first assignment is to start these negotiations and to get a feel for what Elias Lindholm wants. Conroy goes on to talk about how he would never let Gaudreau walk into free agency again. He would have, you know, liked to have had a contract done prior to everything that happened. And it was a very big learning moment for him. And he kept emphasizing that. And he said, we can't have seven free agents walking in, seven players walking into free agency next year. And that doesn't mean, oh, like, we're going to re-sign all of them. No, just means we need to get ahead of the game so we're not scrambling and putting all our eggs in one basket for when that time comes. Because this time next year, we might be talking about, is Elias Lindholm going to sign? Is Tyler Toffoli leaving? Is Chris Tanev going to retire? I don't know. Nikita Zadorov, what's he doing, you know? He wants to make next year's point smaller by tackling what needs to be done ahead of time and prioritizing these things. And I think that is something that is very respectable. You know, you could easily say, you know, we're just going to let it play out and see what happens. But no, Conroy respects Elias Lindholm and says, you know, I'm pretty sure he wants to be here. And just start the conversations. That's all you have to do. It's not that hard. You know, you don't want to have a hands-off approach. I feel like with Conroy, we're going to get a very hands-on approach. And again, he talks about that in terms of what he wants in a head coach. He wants someone that is willing to collaborate and have a strong communication, strong ability to communicate with the players and front office staff. So, and it kind of sounds like, to me at least, not that there wasn't like an open door policy before, but there, like that is the energy that they're going for. That is the atmosphere they're looking for. Like, you know how when Bruce Boudreau was basically on his way out and the players like went in and had a beer with him? That's kind of like the atmosphere that I'm picturing. Like, players can just drop in and be like, hey, this is what's going on. I'm going XYZ. Have we thought about, you know, switching things up? Or I'm not comfortable doing this. Like Huberto, let's just use him for an example. I don't mean to pick on him, but, you know, he can go and be like, hey, don't play me on my off wing. We saw what happened. We're not doing that again. Well, in probably a much more, you know, poised manner. But there needs to be someone in the coaching position that can connect with these players. And it's not just about X's and O's and scoring and all these shots on net. And it's not. It's not about that. It is very clear that this is a new direction. They're taking this organization and just kind of steering it away from what last season was. And I think the further we get away from that, the better. That is obviously common sense, but we need opportunities for these young guys to crack the roster and to not just be wasting their mid-20s in the AHL. Like, there has to be a coach that will play them. And that's exactly what he said. He said, the kids are coming. You know, it's not a free pass. It's not, you know, okay, you got invited to camp, here you go. You're still working for it. But it's not going to be as hard as it was last year. He goes on to note Sonny Milano and the Cody Eakins PTOs and how they took a spot away from young players. And, you know, I think that, again, he has had plenty to learn from. And, you know, they might not all be written down in a notebook somewhere, notebooks, Google Docs, Google Drives, wherever. But he has things that he has learned from, events that have taken place, things that have transpired that he can just refer to and be like, do I want this to happen again? No. Ooh, I liked how this played out. What was the recipe to get this done? What worked? And I think that we're going to see a lot more of that collaborative effort, and it just feels like things are so much better already, and that makes me very happy. And I think, you know, it should make any Flames fan happy, because you have someone at the helm now that has the respect of owners, the ownership group, and he's calling the shots along with other players, other people that he has been around for a long time or he's bringing in. And I really think that the further we get down, like the chain of command, the better it's going to get, and you will see an improvement. You're already seeing an improvement. They want a coach that it is like a multifaceted coach. He can connect with the players, but he can, you know, still get out there and do what he needs to do. He's not just all buddy-buddy, but he's also not just going to just forget your number and, you know, call you out on your NHL debut like that. And it's, you know, I think it's an opportunity here again for this, for the organization to make the most of this opportunity. And they need to do this because, you know, like Nick talked about in yesterday's episode about, you know, you'll know by 2025 if this team is going to win a Stanley Cup championship with this, in this time frame or not. And 2025 feels like a very long time away. It's 2 years. And I really do think, again, things are just going in the right direction. They are not going with someone, they're not going with a general manager that not only has like a tarnished reputation and a horrible track record, but they're going with someone that wants this. He's hungry. Okay, like I said, he has a lot on his plate and he is ready to devour it. He's hungry. He's starved. Everyone in this community is starved and he's going to feed them. And I think that this is just the way things are going to go. Things are trending upward. And any Calgary Flames fan should be excited and kind of just, you know, manage those expectations still. But, you know, it feels good to talk about the Flames again. And coming up next, we are going to continue the conversation of what we can look forward to, because there's plenty. And thank you, everyone, for hanging out with me today on Locked On Flames. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Jess Belmosto. This was not just lip service. You know, sometimes, you know, a team hires someone and they just go out there and they're just like, yes, no, we'll see about the prospects. You know, everybody's got to work for that spot. Oh, well, you know, I haven't really looked at you know, the order of business yet. I got to get familiar ahead of the draft. And you're not getting any of that. You know why? Because you hired internally. You hired internally and went with someone that has been preparing for this for 12 years within this organization. And again, like I said at the start of the episode, I can only imagine what he has seen in 12 years behind the scenes as well. I've seen enough in 4 years. Like, I feel like I've experienced a lifetime of like hockey in these 4 short years of covering this team. You know, he's learned from, I mean, just from, I've been covering the team, you know, free agent signings, Blake Coleman, Jacob Markstrom, trading for Toffoli, signing Chris Tanev, basically accruing and acquiring half of the Vancouver Canucks team. But he also knows what happens when you don't really have a contract in place or really anything to gauge free agency on when, you know, you're down to the 11th hour and a generational talent is just, he decided. And of course he saw the Matthew Tkachuk trade that happened. He saw that Brad Treliving didn't sign that 6 to 8 year contract extension for him back in, oh my gosh, what was it? No, he wanted to sign a 6 year contract back in what, 2018. Would the Panthers be where they are today if that trade didn't happen? I don't think so. But It, there are plenty of do's and don'ts. Again, I don't think he has a notebook with a table. Do's, don'ts, pros, cons. I don't think it's like that simple. I just, again, he has points of reference to know what he would have done differently. And I think it's good for him to have that, especially with the organization. He knows these players. He isn't just, you know, some guy from the outside that, again, if they hired a Stan Bowman, do you think any of these players would be excited to play for him? I wouldn't be, but that's also just me. But he's going to do some, make some ridiculous trades. He has a tarnished reputation for horrible things. And you're not getting something exciting. We're getting a dark, rainy cloud. And Craig Conroy is just kind of the sun. He's shining very bright upon this organization. And I feel like, again, the further down the road we get, the better. We're going to see more of, you know, what his plan is. I like that he's proactive. I like that he is looking at the long-term picture with Elias Lindholm. I hope that he's talking with Toffoli. I do. Nikita Zadorov can leave in free agency. I'm not, like, overly concerned about that. He's a dime a dozen in the NHL. But you're also, you can look forward to your young players making the roster, because that is what he wants and what he's going to make sure the coach is philosophically in tune with. This is all about being on the same page, in the same book, the same sentence, in the same paragraph. That they're getting down even more specific, the same word, because they watched what happened last year. They watched more than we know, and they cannot do that again. They owe it to their players, to their work environment, to not ever let things get that out of hand again. And I do think it's going to be very interesting to watch a first-time general manager navigate. I don't want to call it messes, because, you know, it's not horrible yet. But there's a lot, again, there's just so much to look forward to. You know, you have Mackenzie Weegar here for the next 8 years. You have Jonathan Huberdeau until, like, the end of his career. You have Nazem Kadri. You have Dustin Wolf. You have Jacob Pelletier. You have Manji Upani, hopefully Backlund, and so many promising players that can get you to the next level if you find someone that can do what we want, and that's win. But it has to be more about more. It's more than just winning. It's not just one game at a time. This game finishes, we walk off the ice. No, you know, you have to have fun with it. He wants guys to be excited and, you know, come to work happy. That is very fair. And you know what? If you want that bad enough, you make the environment conducive and you set it up for success so that goal is attainable. And just like making the playoffs is a goal, having a group that is excited to come here and play hockey and a team that and players that want to be in Calgary is also an attainable goal. You just have to set it up for success. And I will leave you with this quote. We need to work together and be a team. We want to have a guy that can communicate to players. He's got to be able to make this environment a fun place to play. I would look at the bench sometimes this season and wonder, are the guys having fun? Maybe not. I couldn't tell. I want them to be happy coming to the rink. That's all, folks. He wants to see these guys happy. Having fun out there. So, I think Mitch Love is a good guy that can come in here, kind of boost the atmosphere, you know, take a look at all the team bonding activities that he's done with the Wranglers. And, yeah, the Wranglers got their butt handed to them by Coachella Valley in the playoffs and got eliminated. But there are still so many things, good things that he provides to an organization. Like, it's not just about winning the championship. It's not. Sometimes it's about having fun. And that will do it for me today on Locked On Flames. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Make sure you are subscribed to Locked On Flames wherever you're getting your podcasts and on YouTube. I want to hear from you in the comments. How you feeling? Are you excited? What would be your ideal head coach? And what would be like your go-to team bonding experience? I don't know. But I will see you tomorrow. Nick will be back on the show as well. And big thanks to him for covering for me while I took a much-needed vacation to the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. And I'll see you on the internet.